Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Receive the gift from the captives, from Heldai, Tabajah, and Jedidiah, who have come from Babylon. And go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.'" So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the branch from the stem of Jesse, to fellow redeemed. Perhaps you noticed that we just finished singing a Christmas hymn. We chose that hymn because it is based partly on the text this morning from the book of Zechariah, which speaks of the branch. Zechariah was a prophet that prophesied during the time of the prophet Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet that we were talking about and studied in the last two Wednesday nights in our Wednesday night Bible class. Zechariah was coming from Babylonia with a bunch of money that was given as offerings to the people there in Jerusalem. He was also commanded by God to build an ornate crown and lay it on the head of Joshua, the high priest. Now that was really, really unusual. In fact, it was an improper thing to do according to the Old Testament law of the Jews. For Jewish law states that a priest could never rule as a king, and vice versa, a king could never rule as a priest. Both of those offices were to be kept separate. Those who were priests came from the line of Levi, and those who were kings came from the line of Judah. Do you remember what happened when two kings didn't keep them separate? Remember when Saul was told by Samuel, "Don't go to fight until I come and offer a sacrifice." So Saul waited. And he waited. And he waited. And Samuel didn't come. And he didn't come. And finally Saul thought, "I can't wait any longer." His soldiers were getting very impatient, and some were even going back home. And so Saul took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice. And as soon as he was finished, Samuel came walking up and said, "That is wrong. Because you were disobedient, God is going to tear away from you the kingdom." And Saul's sons did not rule as king. Instead, David did. Sometime later, a king named Uzziah rebelled against God and usurped the power of the priest and went into the temple and offered a sacrifice in the temple, and God struck him immediately with leprosy. God is very serious about keeping the priestly office and the kingly office separate. But now, the Lord God says to Zechariah, "Go and take this crown and place it on the head of the high priest." Why? We know it could not be a disobedience to God's law because God's doing this. What it is symbolical. It's a symbolical of the prophetic future of one who is going to come. How they combine both the priestly office with the kingly office into one. For as Zechariah came to the high priest, Joshua, and laid the crown on his head, he said, "Behold, look, see, the man whose name is Branch." Well, we know that the high priest's name was Joshua. Was that his nickname? Was that a new name that Zechariah gave to him? No, neither of those things. Zechariah is pointing out to this man, Joshua, that there will be coming a man whose name is Branch, who will be both high priest and king, thus combining both of these offices in the New Testament time. So who is that branch? Well, if you already read your bulletin, you'll see that this branch is the one who has both the kingly office and the priestly office. If you listen carefully to our introduction to our sermon this morning, we said, in Christ Jesus, the branch from the stem of Jesse. This Christmas carol began with these words, "Behold, a branch is growing of loveliest form and grace, as prophets sung foreknowing, it springs from Jesse's race." Those words are taken from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where we read, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots." It was the prophet Isaiah who first gave this name branch to the Messiah. In chapter 4, 2, he says, "In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious." The prophet Jeremiah also called the Messiah branch. In Jeremiah 23, 5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." Joshua the high priest and all of the high priests of the Old Testament pictured or symbolized Jesus as the high priest, the branch. But the symbol goes even further than that. What was the name of this high priest? Joshua. Same name as that leader that led the people, children of Israel, from the wilderness over the Jordan River into the promised land. And the word Joshua, the name Joshua in the Hebrew means Jehovah saves. What's the Greek word for Joshua? No, Joshua? It's Jesus. Jehovah saves. And so not only do we see the symbolism in this priest serving also as king, even as Jesus is king and priest, but he had the very same name, only in different languages, Jehovah saves. Three important things are mentioned in our text about this man named the branch. First of all, he branches out or he sprouts forth from lowliness. The picture here is not of a branch that's coming out of the trunk of the tree or from other branches. This stem, this shoot, this branch comes right out from the stump. The tree's been cut down. All stuff is a stump. And suddenly, a branch comes drawing out from the stump. And it becomes a great big, huge, powerful, big branch. That branch is also a symbol, a picture of the family of David. The line of David at one time was like a big, powerful oak tree. And then it was cut down. David's line was no longer king. It was no longer powerful. It was no longer significant, no longer had influence. But from that non-influential line of David would come this little stem, this little branch that would become a great big huge branch. And that's Jesus, because Jesus was born from Mary, who was a descendant from the line of Judah and David, as well as adopted by Joseph, his stepfather, who was also from the line of Judah and David. So he is both a physical as well as a legal descendant of King David. Well, Zechariah goes on to say that this branch will be unique in all of history because the two highest offices of the Old Testament will be held by the same person. He'll be both priest and he'll be king. And that's what the whole symbolism in our text is all about. Bringing this crown, placing it upon the high priest. He wasn't going to become king. There was no kings in Israel anymore. They were ruled by the Persians. But it was to show that it was a symbolism that this new branch that was coming would be king and priest forever. Jesus would be the last high priest of all Israel. Never have a high priest again. And he was to be the king that would rule forever the kingdom of Israel, meaning the church. Through these two offices, Jesus would then build his church. As a high priest, Jesus intercedes for his people. He intercedes to, like the high priest of the Old Testament did, takes our prayers to the Heavenly Father. But even more than that, the second job of the high priest was to go and offer sacrifices. Lambs, goats, bulls, sprinkle the blood on the people. Well, Jesus was the high priest to offer sacrifice. The sacrifice of sacrifices. Himself. The author of the Hebrews tells us that in Hebrews 7. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. And then in Hebrews 9, the author continues about this branch, Jesus. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By his perfect life and his sacrifice upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave, Jesus sanctified this church for himself. And he established this church upon himself, upon his death, and upon his word. And Jesus as our high priest is still active today. In fact, we just covered that last week, didn't we, Jonathan? About Jesus' three offices, prophet, priest, and king. And as our priest, he still takes our prayers to Heavenly Father, interceding for us, pleading for us, and saying we can come before our Father because only because of Jesus as our sacrifice. We cannot approach our Father as sinners. We can only approach our Father as redeemed saints. But this man named Branch also builds his church not only as high priest, but also as king. Jesus has been given all authority, all power, all dominion, all might. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He conquered the strong man, the prince of this world, Satan. To him, all nations, all people, all knees must bow. That means Jesus is your king and my king too. We're part of his kingdom. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. And so Jesus rules his church, his kingdom, not as a tyrant, not with laws and rules, regulations and punishments and threats and condemnations. He rules with love and forgiveness. He rules with his promises. When we're brought to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're placed into his kingdom. And as his subjects, we now are ruled by him through his powerful forgiving word. As our high priest, Jesus has saved us from sin, saved us from eternal damnation in hell, saved us from the evil rule of Satan, saved us from the frightening finality of death. And as our King, Jesus day by day protects and guards and guides and watches over us, together with his word and his powerful angels, from all harm and danger in his kingdom. What a wonderful kingdom church we've been brought into, with our powerful high priest and our powerful king watching over us. Finally, Zechariah tells us that this man named Branch also brings peace and harmony. Peace and harmony between these two offices, so they're combined into one, but peace and harmony between the powerful, righteous, holy, omnipotent God the Father and all of us sinners. Making peace between our Father and us by removing our sins, paying for our debt, and assuring us of life and salvation. We now have that eternal blood-bought peace between God and mankind, for he's removed from us that mountain of sins between the Father and us and the mountain of sins between each other. Again, we read Paul's words in Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the warfare, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And before our priest King Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to us these comforting words: peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But if that's true, then why is there still so much terrorism and warfare and strife and hatred in this world? Why are there so many troubled families between parents and children? So many marriages disintegrating in divorce and love relationships falling apart? Why is there so much strife and warfare between nations and people? Why is there so much evil in this world? The answer is very simple. Because of our sin. Our sin, which leads people to hate and attack God, to hate and attack God's creation, people to fight against people, nation fight against nation, people fighting amongst themselves. We see it daily in our own sinful lives, our sinful thoughts, actions, and words. Only when that sin is removed through Christ's death and resurrection can that peace that comes from Jesus fill the hearts of individuals, of families, of groups, of nations, of people. For Christ has removed that wall, that barrier between us and our Heavenly Father, and washed us clean and filled our hearts with peace. This spiritual peace that we have with our Heavenly Father will then lead us to live in peace and harmony also with one another in Christ's kingdom. This kingdom church, where peace and love and harmony and fellowship and forgiveness will reign over everything that we do together as brothers and sisters in Christ. May Christ's forgiving love for all of us fill our hearts with this peace and this harmony, so that in thankful joy we will lovingly and willingly serve and love and honor and praise our priest King Jesus, and also serve each other in peace and joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.